So Isaiah 53, verse 4-6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, if you want to keep those words in front of you, we're going to look at those in a moment. For the Gospel of Matthew, we've heard the story of the Thursday evening. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus shared one last meal with his disciples, a last supper. And in a moment, we're going to take bread and wine, just as they did that evening, and just as Christians have done throughout history, and we'll be doing across the world together this evening. That meal back then was a Passover meal, and as they ate together, Jesus gave them and gave to his disciples the meaning of his coming death, that he was the Passover lamb. He was telling them that his death would be the death of a substitute, that he, one perfect man, would give his body and his blood for them, would die in the place of them. But is this new information on that first Thursday, is this the first time that this substitute plan had been revealed as God's plan of salvation? Well, not at all. There have been many Old Testament pictures and prophecies saying exactly the same thing, not least the fourth servant song of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. Now, through our Easter series, we've been looking at these four songs, and we reached halfway into this fourth song, and we're right in its very heart. And I'd like just to take 10 minutes or so just to show us three things for these three central verses of this song teach us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And these are three things which I hope by the end of this evening will give us much cause for thankfulness and for praise. So here they are. He bore our sin, he took God's wrath, he brings us peace. He bore our sin, he took God's wrath, he brings us peace. So first of all, he bore our sin. Now if you scan through those verses, you'll notice that there's several terms or images to describe human sin. Griefs and sorrows in verse 4, that refers to the effects of our sin in this broken world. It's all that our sin has done to us from the point of Adam's fall onwards. It's the broken relationships, it's the broken bodies, and it's the broken hearts. Everything that our sin has caused in this world. Then in verse 5, we get two different terms for our sin. We get transgressions, that's the crossing of the line, the breaking of God's law. That's every time we've disobeyed God in thought or word or deed. And then iniquities, that is the bentness and perversion of the human heart. That is the desires that each of us have for wickedness, the sort of ever-flowing fount of sin that pours out from inside of us. Then in verse 6, we're given a picture. It's a vivid picture of rebellion. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It's not a complimentary picture, is it, to be compared to a sheep? We have stubbornly and willfully turned our back on the good shepherds, and we've wandered from him. We've walked away from the God who cares for us and the God who protects us. We've rejected his authority, well, because we think we know better. So our sin is laid before us. And we know it's true, don't we? We know that this is what we're like in our nature, that we're disobedient, that we're distorted in our desires, that we're rebellious against God. And it's good for us to think about this on Maundy Thursday, to dwell on our sin for a moment, because before we see the cross as something done for us, well, we need to see it as something done by us, don't we? Think of the words of that song we've just sung. They kind of catch in the throat, don't they? Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there. So we need to dwell on our sin for a moment. We cannot think that his death was nothing to do with us, that it was not our fault, that it was someone else's fault. No, it was our fault. But Isaiah 53, verse 3 that we heard on Sunday told us this very clearly. It said, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Yeah, the wonderful truth of the gospel and the truth of the gospel in Isaiah 53 is that we only need to dwell on our sin for a moment, because wonderfully God has done something with it. Just look with me at the first part of verse 4 and verse 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Then verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore our sin. The Father placed our sin upon his shoulders. And notice that the servant was willing. The Son of God, he willingly took it upon himself. He bore it. He carried it for us. The Apostle Peter picks up on these verses and he puts it like this. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. It's as if he lifted the great sack of our sin that we've been carrying on our backs all of our lives, and he put it on his own shoulder, and he carried that burden for us to Calvary. He bore our sin. But that's not enough. It's not enough that he just took our sin onto himself. Something had to be done about our sin. God's justice had to be satisfied. His wrath against our sin had to be atoned for in order for God's righteousness to be maintained. Someone had to suffer and die for sin. And that's what we learn next. Not only did he bear our sin, he took God's wrath. That's the second thing. He took God's wrath. Verse 4 again. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Everyone there at the cross on that day could see that Jesus was under God's judgment. The manner of his death, that made it obvious to them all. Now, the people of that day, they thought, well, it must be because of Jesus' sin that he hung there. They assumed that God was angry with him because of the things that he'd done. But they were wrong about that. Let's read on, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Now here is the heart of the gospel. It's what is called penal substitution. Jesus bore our sin as our substitute, and on the cross he took the penalty that we deserve. Penal, the penalty, substitution in our place. First, these verses are really clear, aren't they? That it's not for his sin, but for ours that he died. He was hanging there on the cross in our place, on our behalf, for our sins. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. His death was as our substitute. And he says this at the supper. He says, this is my body for you, given for you. This is my blood shed for you. I'm doing it in your place. But we also see here the penalty that Jesus paid. Jesus' death was a physically brutal death. You get a sense of that here, don't you? The horror of the cross. He was wounded. That word is literally pierced. It's a terrible wound. Think of the nails driven into his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns pressed down upon his head, the spear that pierces his heart. He was pierced. And the stripes, that's the reference to the lacerations of the whips of the Roman soldiers across his back, tearing flesh from him. It's a brutal death. But the truth is that the physical torment, that was nothing compared to the torment he experienced in his soul as the wrath of God fell upon him. He was crushed for our iniquities. The full weight of the wrath of God against all the sins of his people throughout all of history and through across the world, that wrath against that sin was pressed upon him in that moment and ground his soul to dust. He paid the penalty. He bore God's wrath. And God's wrath against our sin was exhausted in him. He bore our sin. He took God's wrath. And then finally, the wonderful results. He brings us peace. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. The Apostle Peter, again, in 1 Peter 2, he continues like this. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He brings us peace. That's peace with God, first of all. God's righteous anger against us and our sin, it's satisfied upon him. And so as we're trusting in Christ's death, God is no longer angry with us. We can be confident of that. Our relationship with him is no longer one of rebellion and subsequent wrath, but is a restored relationship of peace and healing. We now know God as our Father. We now know God's love for us in our hearts. We know that we've come home to him and that we are welcome there. We're at peace with God, reconciled to him. But there's even a further kind of peace I think this is referring to that we now have if we're trusting in Christ. We're finally at peace within ourselves. That is, we know the joy of forgiveness. And we know freedom from the guilt of our sin. Because we've been declared righteous in God's sight. And so as Peter reminds us, we know the healing of our souls. And even more, we can look forward to even our broken bodies being eternally healed in the new creation. We have peace. Peace with God. Peace within ourselves. And that peace carries us forwards into eternity. Brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus Christ did. He bore our sin. He took God's wrath. He brings us peace. This is the wonderful news of Easter. As we meditate on these truths tonight, what does that create in our hearts? What does it do for us? Well, I think it creates two things. It creates thankfulness and praise. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that we can know tonight truly that all of our sins are paid for? And that we're forgiven. And then don't our hearts stir with praise for our God, whose plan this was, who wrote these words 700 years before Jesus came. Don't we praise him for all that he has done through Jesus? Well, let's give thanks and praise to him now as we pray together. Lord God, our Father, we praise you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, this servant of the Lord. Thank you that he bore our sin, that he took it upon himself, Thank you that he took your wrath on the cross, that he satisfied it, so that we could be forgiven and that we could be reconciled to you, have peace with you. And we thank you, Lord God, that this evening that means we can have real peace within ourselves. We can know that we're right with you. We can know that our sins are paid for and taken away. And we can know that we have an eternally secure future. Lord, we praise you for all that Jesus did for us all those years ago. In Jesus' name, amen.